Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, we'll talk about the Silver Slugger Award nominees, the history of trades between the Dodgers and the Red Sox, and we'll touch on World Series Game 1. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Central. That is Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. And this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us pretty much every week to get in on the action. Vince, it's nice to be back with you. This is our first time doing a podcast together since the terrible, awful events of last weekend. And you and I have both had time to expound and go off on tangents and everything about the way the season ended separately. But you know, I guess we don't need to do that together, but how you doing otherwise?
Yeah, man, it would have been us talking about Game 1 of the World Series, which we are going to talk about, but it's not involving the Dodgers, so it's not the entire show. But I'm feeling all right. You know, I like to pour myself into other sports, and since the Dodgers lost on Saturday, all my teams have won every game they've played, so I'll take that as consolation, I guess.
Yeah, that works. I don't have any teams playing anymore because I only have one team. And for the most part, that's the way I like it. You know, I listen to Christmas music today. And have you heard Carrie Underwood's version of Little Drummer Boy, where her little son sings with her? Man, it's the cutest thing you will ever hear. So go check that out if you're in the mood for Christmas music. But maybe I'll start Locked On Christmas music. That's not a bad idea. Or else it's a bad idea. But let's talk about baseball. The Silver Slugger Award nominees, with the finalists, I guess, were announced. And there were a couple weird things. The two things that were correct were Trey Turner and Will Smith were both nominated, listed as finalists, however you want to put it. Justin Turner also was, but he was listed as a second baseman. And Julio Urias, despite being the best hitting pitcher in the National League this year, probably was not listed. And Jacob deGrom was probably the best hitting pitcher in the National League, but he didn't play the whole season. So, you know, Julio had a very good case for winning it, and he is not even one of the finalists. And I think we should start there because that's kind of ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, as we learned, or maybe some people learned, is that coaches and players, I think, voted for these, and they probably don't really know who's a good hitting pitcher unless somebody got a hit against them, or they know somebody historically has been, I guess, a good hitting pitcher, which is how Madison Bumgarner snuck his way onto the finalist ballot because he had a lower OPS, no home runs, less RBI, less hits than Julio did the entire year. And yet he's up there, and people probably remember him hitting home runs in the past, but just like he used to pitch well in the postseason in the past, he doesn't do that either because he doesn't pitch in the postseason. So, it just goes to show you that whether it's fans, whether it's, you know, sometimes writers, whether it's coaches and players, it's really hard to find a good quantification and qualifications for voting for some of these things. And yeah, that Julio gets snubbed, and you know, at the end of the day, I don't think he's really worried about a Silver Slugger Award, but would have been a nice little addition to his trophy case.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, coaches and nobody's allowed to vote for their own people, their own players, and so you know, it's you're voting on people who, at most, you played against them 19 times this year, which is like 11.7% of their games. Even if you're doing heavy duty scouting and stuff, like, you know, how many times did Dave Roberts think about the Marlins after July 8th, the last time the Dodgers played the Marlins? Zero times, you know? So that's, you know, 2.5 months of the season that, you know, teams that, you know, it's not just the Marlins, you know, any team that you're done playing for the year, you're done thinking about them. And so why would you know if they hit well or whatever? It kind of reminded me of, you know, Derek Jeter winning Gold Glove Awards based on his reputation. reminded me of when Rafael Palmeiro once won a Gold Glove award in a season in which he only played the field in like 12 games. He was a DH the entire season and he won a Gold Glove award. So sometimes these things don't necessarily have the best processes. The other funny one was that Justin Turner was nominated, which isn't funny in and of itself, except that he was nominated or he's a finalist or whatever at second base. And I'm going to tell you my theory, Vince. This is what I honestly believe happened. I think a lot of the voters didn't realize that that guy named Turner, who hit really well as the national shortstop, and that guy named Turner, who hit really well as the Dodger second baseman, were the same person. So I honestly believe Trey Turner was actually nominated twice at shortstop and second base, and the committee had to say, well, good thing there's another Turner on the Dodgers. We'll just pretend that Justin Turner was the second base nominee. He hasn't played second base since 2015. He hasn't played, hasn't gotten more than 60 plate appearances as a second baseman since 2011. And yet he is one of the finalists for second base Silver Slugger.
I'm not sure what the, you know, process is. I know back in like Little League, you would just write players' names that you wanted to vote for, like All-Stars and stuff. I'm not sure if that's the case or if it's online or whatever it is, but you know, your theory seems right. You would think that they would have a more technological way of voting where that's not even a possibility. But here we are with Justin Turner nominated as second base. So, yeah, man, I don't know. Maybe they felt like there wasn't enough second baseman. So, yeah, we'll let Turner slide. And nobody will notice, you know, and clearly we noticed and a lot of Dodger fans noticed. The joke going around was that he was there because of the shift. He you know, plays over so much anyways that he's kind of playing second base. So, you know, that was kind of funny. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever voting quirk or whatever reason, or maybe just MLB realized it and they're like, oh well, it's too late. We don't want to issue a, you know, maybe they know who's the winner, so they figured we don't have to issue a statement or anything or change because he's not going to win it anyway.
Yeah. And to be fair, I'm not saying that I think any individual voter voted for Trey Turner, the national at short, and Trey Turner, the Dodger at second. But I think just Trey Turner got enough votes at both positions. You know, Trey Turner, the Dodger second baseman, Trey Turner, the national shortstop, got enough votes at both positions to be a finalist. And it wasn't until after the fact that the committee realized, oh, we probably should have protected against this. It's kind of like when Ryan Tepera got an MVP vote last year because his name was somewhat close to, I forget who it was that the voter said he was trying to vote for.
Might have been Trey Turner. I think it was Trey Turner, actually.
It might have been Trey Turner. Wow, Trey Turner. You're just causing problems, man. So, yeah, Trey Turner is the official troublemaker of postseason awards. And we'll see. I assume Will Smith will win the Silver Slugger for catchers in the National League. Omar Narvaez, I assume, was one of the finalists. I haven't even looked closely, but he and Buster Posey both had good seasons too. Hopefully Will Smith, actually, I bet Buster Posey wins because, you know, all that stuff, reputation, like we talked about. But Trey Turner, good chance to win it at whichever position he was actually nominated at, although Fernando Tatis is there too. And, you know, reputation. So we'll see what happens. Maybe the Dodgers end up with no Silver Sluggers despite leading the league in runs scored, which wouldn't be the first time and might not be the last time that happens to the Dodgers. So, all right. You have any other final thoughts on Silver Slugger before we move on?
No more thoughts.
All right. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about the history of Dodgers Red Sox trades based on some silly tweets we saw. But first, we want to thank you again for making us your first listen every day. Please continue to do that and keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We host rooms for Locked On Dodgers pretty much every week, so you can join in on the conversation that you listen to here every day. Be sure to join us anytime we do. Download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at Snydog to be notified when our room goes live. We know you won't want to miss it. Not sure what day we're going to do this week, but like I said, be sure to follow me there on Green Room. Follow us on Twitter. We always tweet out the link. We can't wait to hear your thoughts on the Dodgers. So we'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, Vince. So there was a tweet that got put out on the Twitters, because that's where tweets go. And it was a guy who Well, why don't you, you have the tweet pulled up. Why don't you read what this guy said?
Yeah, so he's from Boston area, I'm assuming, or is a fan of Boston area teams. And he tweeted, a year and a half since Boston traded Mookie Betts, the Dodgers and Red Sox both finished exactly 2 wins away from the World Series. Boston replaced Betts, replenished their farm system, got a franchise player in Alex Verdugo, and got more financially stable. Sox won the trade.
Yeah, so...
there's nothing missing there. That's the whole tweet.
Yeah, to paraphrase, he's saying, because the Dodgers and Red Sox both didn't win the World Series in 2021, the Red Sox won the trade. You know, obviously the main point, he's missing a lot of things here. The main thing he's missing, I think, is that the Dodgers did win the World Series in 2020. That is really hard to overlook. The Dodgers have won as many World Series with Mookie Betts as their right fielder as the Red Sox did in far fewer seasons, about one third as many seasons. So that's kind of a key point to miss in this hard hitting, quote unquote, analysis, don't you think?
Yeah, you buried the lead, and you know, at the, if you want to argue, even if you want to argue long-term prospects, maybe, but yeah, the fact that you just leave out a whole entire World Series, I think one of his later tweets went on to kind of discredit the Dodgers World Series in 2020, calling it more of a tournament than, you know, a season or whatever the case is. He also had a tweet later on comparing Kike and Mookie's postseason stats from this season specifically, just, I guess, to discredit Mookie even more. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, while the Red Sox have found success again after they traded Mookie Betts, that doesn't necessarily mean validate anything. And as much as, you know, I like Alex Verdugo, franchise player, is a bit much. I don't think he's ever going to be a $200, $250 million player. So, you know, he's a good player, but he wasn't even an all-star. So a franchise player is a little bit of spoon-feeding the ego that he has. And the other part is, it kind of reminded me of, and they're completely different circumstances, but just kind of the way the Red Sox have gotten over these types of trades. Reminded me of the trade in 2012 when the Dodgers took on all the salary and got Agon and Punto and Beckett and Carl Crawford. The Red Sox got nothing really of value back in that trade. Those guys didn't really pan out to do anything. They got the financial freedom, and then they were able to go on and win the World Series in 2013. That also kicked off the Dodgers' streak of 9 years in a row making the postseason. So while they're not direct correlations, I guess the fact of the matter is the Red Sox are good at shedding money and rebuilding, which is cool, but also the Dodgers, you know, have made the playoffs every year since that first trade and won a World Series the year after that second trade. So you could argue that the Dodgers benefited probably just as much or even way more.
Yeah, that 2012 trade is probably the definition of a win-win trade in that the teams had very different objectives. The Dodgers wanted to get good players. The Red Sox wanted to pay less money, and both teams were successful. And the Red Sox were able to translate that into a World Series title. Doesn't mean that had to happen, you know, and it, you know, I don't know that it would change the assessment of the trade that much if the Cardinals had won that World Series in 2013. You know, it was a close series, and that, you know, trying, basically saying the whole success of this one trade comes down to the result of one game between the Red Sox and Cardinals 8 years ago is, you know, that's kind of foolish, I think. You know, and the Dodgers got Adrian Gonzalez, who was a mainstay for several years. Carl Crawford, who people forget, he actually had 2 good years with the Dodgers. He then got really bad. And, you know, Nick Punto was never any good, but some people, I said Punto. I promise I said Punto. I'm sure we have some Spanish-speaking listeners, and I just want you to know I said Punto. The N just was kind of quiet. You know, he was never any good, and Josh Beckett had, you know, a no-hitter and, you know, took 86 seconds between pitches every time. But yeah, it's that was one of those win-win trades, and I expect that this most recent Dodgers trade is going to be a win-win trade. You know, we knew when the Dodgers traded Alex Verdugo, he is a good player. He's a really good player. He's going to be popular in Boston. There's going to be plenty of good things to say about it. I think replenishing the farm system is a little bit overselling. You know, Jeter Downs and Connor Wong were the two guys who went with Alex Verdugo. Jeter Downs batted 190 in AAA this year with a 606 OPS. excuse me. So, you know, he may still turn into something. We might discover that Jeter Downs was a product of the Dodgers player development system because he was not very good as a Reds minor leaguer. Then he came to the Dodgers and was really good. Then he went to the Red Sox and wasn't very good again, you know? And so he may be one of those guys who was only going to pan out as a Dodger. I hope not. I you know, obviously I want good things for Jeter Downs, but, and then Connor Wong made it to the big leagues, but mostly because of position, probably because he had a 731 OPS in AAA this year. So, you know, it's not like the Red Sox got a ton of prospects for Mookie Betts. They got Alex Verdugo and a couple guys who might be role players in the major leagues. And so, you know, it's kind of the definition of overselling on that tweet. And so between just totally overlooking, and if he really is one of those guys who discredits the 2020 World Series, that's all you need to know about him. I've talked about this plenty of times. No team has ever had to win 13 postseason games in a season. No team has ever had to do a month-long road trip while winning those 13 games to win the World Series. And no team has ever, you know, had as good a winning percentage in the regular season going into the postseason and then follow that up with winning the World Series. You know, the Dodgers, no matter how you look at it, yes, the season was only 60 games long. That doesn't matter. The postseason was regular. And I said this before the season even started last year. I said, as long as the postseason pretty much resembles a regular postseason, whoever wins the World Series title is a legit champion. If they had done something stupid with the postseason, that would have been one thing. But this was a real postseason. They got no breaks. If anything, it was harder than ever. And the Dodgers won it. So, you know, that it's just, it's literally a brain dead. It's a symptom of lack of critical thinking skills to say things like that. And mostly it's a symptom of sour grapes. My team didn't win it, so I refuse to acknowledge that it's legitimate. And I would not be that kind of person. I have never said a title was illegitimate except for the one time that the team literally got caught cheating to win it. Other than that, World Series titles are legitimate. It's, you know, in the last 20, 25 years, they've really gotten away from even caring about the best team in baseball winning the World Series. It's a tournament. The postseason is always a tournament. And the team that wins it, sometimes 30% of the time, it's the best team in baseball. The other 70% of the time, it's not. It doesn't make them illegitimate. It just means that's the nature of baseball. So that guy, I'm glad I don't know his name. I had you read the tweet. I don't remember the guy's name. I've seen it three times today. I've forgotten it already. I hope I never remember it because I don't have time in my life for people without brains.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even feel a need to discuss the 2020 and how people feel because it doesn't really matter. The other part too that is just kind of funny, especially for a lot of Red Sox fans, kind of maybe thinking this way, or a lot of teams, a lot of fans of other teams that we've seen on Twitter, is that you're celebrating the fact that your team cheaped out and not paying a player. You're celebrating the fact, you know, a lot of teams said, "Oh, the Dodgers spent all this money and blah blah blah." Okay, you know, rich people spend money too, and they do it because they have the money, they have the means to do so, and they, you know, want to have either your better life for the people's case or a better team for the Dodgers' case. I don't think that spending money should involve being laughed at. I think I should, if anything, the teams that don't spend money should be laughed at, like the Rays. You know, they have, they're right there on the cusp every single year. If they just spend a little more money, they probably could get over and be, you know, a World Series contender, a World Series winner year in and year out. The A's have always kind of been that way too. They've been on the cusp of doing it a few times, and guess what they always do to the Yankees? What do the Yankees do? Spend money. You know, sometimes you got to spend money to win. There's other ways to win, but if you have the means to do so and your owners are willing to spend, then, you know, I'm not going to criticize that. And especially as a Dodger fan, I'm not going to criticize it, but I'm not going to be mad at other teams because at the end of the day, if you want to win, you're going to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah. And if you look at how the Dodgers spend their money, they spend a lot of money on Clayton Kershaw, who they drafted, developed, and then paid to stick around. You know, they're spending a lot of money on a lot of guys like that. You know, Cody Bellinger, they drafted him, developed him, and then he made a bunch of money in arbitration because he won the friggin' MVP award. They're paying good money to a lot of these guys who they either drafted and developed or picked up off the scrap heap. You know, Kenley Jansen, they signed as an international free agent. He's been with the Dodgers his entire career, and then they paid him to stick around. Justin Turner, they signed him as a minor league free agent. He got good, and they paid him to stick around. You know, you got Mookie Betts, you got AJ Pollock, and not many other guys who the Dodgers have gotten from outside organizations, even Mookie Betts. The Dodgers had to give up, you know, they had to replenish the Red Sox farm system to get Mookie Betts, you know, but then they paid him to stick around. AJ Pollock, yeah, they signed him not to a ton of money. You know, he was a free agent who wasn't highly in demand, and they signed him. But, you know, the Dodgers do things the way the Dodgers billionaire owners are more willing to spend money than the 29 other teams billionaire owners. And that says something about the 29 other teams billionaire owners a lot more than it says anything about the Dodgers owners. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to come back and talk about two of those other teams that unfortunately are the only two teams left playing. The Red Sox, the Astros and the Braves played game one of the World Series on Tuesday night, and the Braves won 6-2. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about that game and how much we wish that it had been at Dodger Stadium between the Dodgers and the Astros. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, remember Built Bar? Of course you do. We mentioned it probably a day or two ago. You should try Built Bar if you haven't yet. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world. They have a ton of different flavors. You're going to find something you like. And if you can't decide, you can order a mixed box and they'll send you 2 of 9 different flavors, and you can try them all and you can decide what you love. And then the next time you order, you can just get the ones you love or do another mixed box if you like them all. But the thing to remember is, unlike most protein bars, Built Bars taste good and are healthy. Most protein bars focus on the protein, don't worry much about the flavor or the other macronutrients. Well, Built Bar, 17 or 18 grams of protein in every bar, calories only 130 to 180 calories, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. These are things, if you're on keto, you can eat them. If you're trying to lose weight, eat them. If you're trying to build muscle, eat them. If you just want a snack that tastes good and won't make you feel guilty, eat a Built Bar. This chocolate, or the cookie dough chunk Built Bar, it's like eating a candy bar, except it's not bad for you. I love the thing. I've got 50 of them in my pantry right now, and I'm going to order more because 50 with how many people in my family love them, they're not going to last very long. So you should order some too. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Hey, guess what? Sports are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before on betonline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Vince. So going into the World Series, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it. And I definitely wasn't sure if I was going to watch the games at whatever that Enron Field, I'm just calling it Enron Field. That is more fitting. I wasn't sure if I was going to watch the games there because I hate that stadium. I think that left field porch, it drives me crazy. It brings me flashbacks of little league home runs where guy hits a pop up to left and it goes over the wall in left field. I hate that stadium. I don't like seeing those fans happy, you know, it's just, but I ended up watching and I didn't pay really close attention, but I had it on for the whole game. And I was watching, I had the volume down most of the time, or at least low. So it was background noise. I was doing other things on my laptop, hanging out with my kids, you know, my wife's out of town. So I was hanging out with my kids, all that stuff. But I watched the game and it was fine. And one thing I generally do, if I don't actually care, if I don't have a rooting interest in a game, I'll just watch it and I'll just kind of observe to see what my brain, who my brain decides I'm rooting for. And in this series, I assumed I was rooting for the Braves. But it wasn't until I started watching it that I realized I am definitely rooting for the Braves. Partly my best friend is a Braves fan. He's very happy right now. He's flying to Atlanta from his house in Seattle to go to game 4. He's super excited about it. So I'm happy for him, or at least I will be at some point in time. And I don't know that I will ever be able to root for the Astros in anything ever again.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at. And, you know, the Braves, they're not a – the fact that they beat the Dodgers, but, you know, they have a lot of likable players. They have a lot of, you know, Freddie Freeman, Ozzy Albies, well, Acuna, even though he's not playing. You know, they have some likable guys. Even Charlie Morton, who unfortunately will be out the rest of the series after fracture in the fibula, he's out. And, you know, you hear the stories about Snicker, and you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then you think about the Braves and kind of how they were – similar, you know, similar to the Dodgers back in the 90s, they won the division every single year. They only ended up winning one of those World Series. And, you know, you feel a little bit of that. And I know enough Braves fans to make you worth it. But honestly, I don't know, you know, as much as you love baseball and as much as I love baseball, if I didn't have to watch for work, I don't think I would be watching, or at least I wouldn't prioritize it. If I happened to be home and it was on, I'd also be watching. But even just last night, there was a Laker game at the same time. LAFC played a little bit later after that. So my two TV living room would have been down to, oh, sorry, there's no room for the World Series. But yeah, you find yourself obviously, you know, rooting for the Braves. And I think the other part too is, I was talking about this with someone and they're like, man, I hope Rosario like goes 1-for-20 in the World Series. And I was like, I don't. I hope he continues to be the best hitter in baseball, because it will feel less fluky that way. If he ridiculously went off in the NLCS and then just went back to kind of a normal player like he's been his most of this year, I think that would have bothered me a little bit more. If the Braves offense went from scoring all these runs and being hard to strike out and looking good at certain times to scoring one or two runs against the Astros pitching staff that's kind of deteriorated, I'd be upset, because I you know, why did it happen against the Dodgers? So I think for this part, you got to root for the Braves to stay hot and just, you know, kind of chalk it up, like I talked about yesterday, chalk it up to the Braves play outplayed the Dodgers. The Braves can outplay the Astros, and, you know, they just played and played better at the right time, and they can write that to a World Series.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even seeing Luke Jackson do well against the Astros after he really struggled against the Dodgers, I'm like, yeah, see, Dodgers are better than the Astros. I know Dodgers didn't make it to the World Series. Astros did. But, you know, there's still little things that make you feel a little bit better, even though ultimately the goal didn't happen. Yeah, game two, I'm going to be at a church Halloween party with my family. And I doubt that I'll even check the score on my phone while I'm there. You know, I guess if the game's still going, if it goes 85 hours like this game one did, you know, I'll probably turn it on when I get home. But yeah, I just find myself like, I don't know. It was easier in 2019 because the Dodgers got eliminated in the NLDS. So we had a whole week and a half before the World Series started. And so then it was easy to just, okay, I've forgotten that the Nationals broke my heart. You know, Juan Soto was fun. It's like, I can definitely get on board with rooting for the Nationals against the Astros in this series. This one, having it come right after, and even in 2016, when the Dodgers lost in the NLCS, but it was to the Cubs, and the Cubs were a good story, you know, and they were likable and all that stuff. And even the Indians were a good story too. And so that was a fun series to watch, because whichever team won was going to break a long drought. And so, you know, it was easier to watch that one, even though we were bummed. And that was the Dodgers hadn't been to the World Series, so it's not like we had that expectation. The Dodgers now having been to the NLCS in, what, 5 of the last 6 seasons? Yeah, there's expectations, and it's taken a little bit longer to get to the point where, yeah, I want to watch some baseball. And so, you know, I don't know if I'll ever get to the point. I'll definitely watch game 4, since like I said, my best friend's going to be there. I'll be watching just to see if I can see him on TV, or to make it worth the money he spent or something. But yeah, you know, what are your thoughts on Dusty Baker? I've seen a lot of Dodger fans saying, well, obviously I'm not rooting for the Astros, but it would be nice to see Dusty Baker get his ring. And for me, like, you're a lot younger than me, so you don't really have any Dusty Baker Dodgers ties at all. My only Dusty Baker Dodgers ties are baseball cards. You know, right around the time I started collecting baseball cards was the time Dusty Baker left the Dodgers. So I have like 1 or 2 years of Dusty Baker Dodgers cards from when I was actually collecting. Other than that, it's more just a relic of history. Oh yeah, he played for the Dodgers. And I know that people 5 years older than me love Dusty Baker. And for me, I think of him as that guy who managed the Giants, and then he managed the Cubs, and then he managed the Reds, and then he managed the Nationals. And, you know, when you see all these numbers of like, he's has the most games managed without winning a World Series, and the most postseason wins without winning a World Series, all these things or whatever. It's like, I think that's because he's a bad manager, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have no real, like the connection to Dusty. I don't really have strong feelings toward or against him. You know, even with some of the comments he made since he's been manager of the Astros, that's kind of more product of the territory rather than product of, you know, I think him. The other part too is just, I think it's one of those things where, you know, maybe the Dusty love's coming from the fact that nobody wants to root for the Astros directly, but hey, if they do win, I guess it's kind of cool that Dusty will win the World Series. I think that's mostly what it stems from. It's just a lot of, okay, let's find the best or the easiest thing to root for the bad thing. And, you know, the Astros, I guess some of their other players probably, you know, get lost. Their infield core is the one that was there. Lance McCullers Jr. was the one that was there. But there's nobody else from that 2017 team on that roster. You know, guys like Kyle Tucker, who probably deserve more shine but haven't really got it. You know, he seems like a guy who's easy to root for, but, you know, I'm not going to root for him. Yordan Alvarez brings a little bit, you know, mixed feelings, I guess, as a Dodger fan, because you know that they traded him for Josh Fields, but you also, there was that report that it was kind of a, it was always going to happen. It just happened to be for Josh Fields type of thing. So, you know, you don't really feel, I don't feel that strong that way. But it, you know, I see a lot of people using that in response to my Chris Taylor tweets, and that Chris Taylor tweet just became something on its own. I'm not offended when the Dodgers lose trades, and if people want to post about it, I don't get offended. So, but yeah, I think the Dusty love just comes from he's old, I guess. People like old people a lot of times, and then that he's never won, and that he's the easiest thing to root for, I guess, on the Astros side.
Yeah, I kind of hope they lose in part just so that he can still have that never won a World Series. Like, it's like Armando Galarraga. More people remember Armando Galarraga for getting robbed of a perfect game than they would if he had thrown a perfect game. You know, people don't think about that guy for the White Sox against the Mariners. What was that dude's name? I don't even remember his name now. Left-handed pit. Phillip Humber. People don't think about him. You know, they think about Armando Galarraga. So Dusty Baker can just keep being that footnote in history. You know, it's not going to affect it. He's probably going to get elected to the Hall of Fame as a manager at some point anyway.
We were talking at work about Dusty Baker earlier, and I'm going to do a video about this probably tomorrow. So, how he might be the Forrest Gump of baseball. He was around when the high five was invented. Like, he was the one that receiving end of it. He was in the on-deck circle when Hank Aaron broke the home run record and passed Babe Ruth. He was there with the Steve Bartman game, obviously managing the Cubs. He was there when his kid ran on the field and had to get picked up by JT Snow. He's had a lot of these random weird moments, and he's like I thought the comparison that was made was just kind of funny when you think about it.
Yeah, that is funny. The Forrest Gump of baseball. I like that. So in summary, Braves are up 1-0, and hopefully they'll sweep the Astros. Although it would be kind of fun if it went 7 games, just like 2019 did, because as of right now, it has now been more than 3 years since a team has won a World Series game at their home stadium. The last time a team won a game at their home stadium was Max Muncy's home run in the 18th inning of Game 3 of the 2018 World Series. Since then, the Red Sox won the next 2 games there at Dodger Stadium. 2019, the road team won all 7 games of the World Series. And then last year, there was no team playing in their home stadium because the Rangers are bad at baseball. And so this year so far, they're keeping it up. And so, yeah, I'm kind of hoping we do that again. The road team wins all 7 games because I like the fact that the Dodgers were the last team to win a game in their home stadium, you know?
Yeah, and it'll be fun in that sense to see Astro fans get crushed again on their home field. I was there in person when it happened in 2019. I don't think I'd be there this year if it happened, but just knowing how it felt when it happened to us in 2017 and me personally, I would like to see that dished out in that sense as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned last week, I'm not a big fan of Braves fans either. So if we could have a series where the Braves beat the Astros and no fans ever get to be happy in any of the games, that works great for me. So I think that wraps up for today, right, Vince?
Yep.
Thank you all for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll be talking, you know, we'll talk about a little bit about game 2, and we'll start, you know, diving into our off-season content. You know, we're going to keep coming to you every day, every weekday morning, even during the off-season. So we'll have lots of fun stuff. It'll be different because we won't have games to talk about, but we will definitely be here talking Dodgers. So that's planned for tomorrow. Now, make your second listen of the day, Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Aram Layton is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available on all platforms. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. You can email us anytime you want at lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you will be here with us either on podcast or on YouTube. Man, I changed the wording and then I forgot it. We hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or sit on your couch. Tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.